You know, my family, most of my husband's side of the family, my mom too, we're all in this prism-friendly diet where you eat all natural food. So when we went over to the house, we had all natural food. But I have to admit, you do miss some of those little chocolatey treats. It's like, this is Easter. But we made it and we survived. We felt better afterwards. Okay, let me go ahead and read the scripture here. Isaiah 26:3. You will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. You may be seated. Kelly, I feel like there's like a little tunnel sound. It might be reverb. Hello? Hello? Yes, I'm out of the tunnel. I saw the light, but I came back. Okay. Okay, let's go ahead and open with prayer because we need it. All right. Here we go. Let me get all ready. Okay, I'm ready. I'm just teasing. Okay, ready? Holy Spirit, help us to pray. Father, you are so precious, and I just thank you, Lord, for this opportunity to be here. I thank you, Lord, that you have appointed each and every one of us to be here today. Lord, I thank you. I thank you that we are not disappointed because we made this appointment Sunday at 11 o'clock. And Lord, I'm just thanking you for it. Father, I just pray for your presence to continue in this place. I pray for those legions of angels that are in here, Father, to minister to your people. And I pray that the great crowd of witnesses is over there going, come on, you can do it. And I just ask, Father, that we'd be more visual, that we'd be able to see these things that you have in the Spirit. Let us keep our mind on the things of the Spirit, not of the physical, Lord. And Lord, I just pray that you would let your words come out my lips and not my own. Lord, we need your word today, Lord. And just ask this in Jesus' name. And if I forgot anything, Father, I just pray that you would grant it to me, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, today we're going to talk about David. I'm a little thirsty. But first, looking at me like that, what is she doing? First, we're going to go over and we're going to talk about David. And I got some things I need to file away first before we can start the sermon. So let me get in here. Oh, this is my file on David. I need to file some things away here. Oh. Remember when David was just a shepherd in the fields, counting his sheep, watching over them? Remember that? Yeah, I remember him. Oh, let's see. Oh, my gosh. Do you remember this? When he fought the bear? And we know it was the Lord that really helped him kill a bear, because come on. Is it any really humanly possible? No. Oh, and let's don't forget about the lion. Yeah, he took on the lion. Yeah, thank the Lord. Thank you, Jesus, for being with them. Oh, my goodness. Remember when it was just a little boy named David with a little sling? It's the little boy David, and only a little sling. But he fought the giant and killed him. Yeah, we know who was behind that. Thank you, Lord. Oh, remember David in the mighty army of Saul and how he fought battles and won? Yeah, I remember that. You know God was always on his side. Oh, my goodness. Remember when David danced before the Lord? Oh, my gosh. Remember him out there stripping down? You know, oh, my goodness. Oh, yeah. Remember God anointed David to be king? I mean, David had nothing to do with it. God did it. David didn't say, I'm going to be king. No, God anointed him and said, you're going to be king. What else? Let me get that in this file. Oh, my goodness, yeah. Remember Bathsheba? Remember the murder? Uriah? How he killed Uriah because he wanted Bathsheba and, you know, trying to cover up his sin with the baby because she's pregnant and, you know, the adultery. And but then remember the grace and the mercy Lord had on him? Yeah, I remember that. I remember reading about that. I'm sure David remembers better than I. No. What about this? Remember David? He was a man after God's own heart. Man. It's hard to believe, too, because after all that with the, you know, Bathsheba and stuff, but Still a man after God's own heart. Well, we'll just file them away. Okay. Let's go to our foundational scripture here. It says, you will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. Now let's go over to 1 Chronicles. And let's talk about David a little more. 1 Chronicles chapter 21. And while you're going there, I'm just going to try to set the scene for you, what's happening, because all those things that already been filed have already taken place. So now we're moving on here from 1 Chronicles chapter 21. And I'll be taking some of these things from 1 Chronicles chapter 20, if you want to follow along there. But what's happened is it was a time of the year when the kings go out to battle. And it seems like they've always had an appointed time that the kings will go out to battle. Remember, that's how David got in trouble before, because the kings went out to battle, but he stayed home and he saw Bathsheba, you know, bathing out there. But this time David's supposed to go off to battle again. And it looks like it's always around springtime. And the reason for that being is because most of the Israelite army were the people of the land. Any men 20 years or older that could fight, they were the army. And so that's who made up this Israel army. So the reason it was probably the springtime was because the harvest was off the fields and they haven't quite planted yet. So they got that time in there, and that's the time that they went to war. So they're at battle and they're warring. And it says here that they were went over to Rabbah, and it says that they were out fighting, and David didn't actually go at the beginning. He stayed home and he came later. But it says that Joab was the general of the Israelite army. And so Joab went out and he conquered Rabbah. Hey. Thank you. Okay. So anyways, they actually overthrew Rabbah. And this place must have been a place that was very wealthy. They had David come. They took the crown off of the king of Rabbah and they stuck it on David's head. And how humiliating for the king, because, you know, you got David wearing this king's crown and going, yeah, we overthrew you. And so, but this, they must have been a really wealthy place. This crown, I looked it up, and it was like 16 pounds, this crown of gold, and it had all these precious stones on it. And then it also said that they took all the spoil, they would take the spoil from the land, and it said it was an abundance. So this place must have been really a wealthy place. And another thing they did in this place is they took the people that were there, and they put, some rakes or whatever, shovels, whatever they're doing, they made them into slaves. And so they not only took over Rabbah, defeated it, they took the people and they took the spoil also. And how humiliating, you know. They were probably like, yeah, you know how, like, you probably seen the movies, they poke and look at him, he's your king now, you know, get to work, you know. Real, you know, like, we're bad, we're Israel, you know, we're victorious, we're great and we're mighty. You go down to verse 4 and 20, it talks about how war broke out in Gezer, and it was the Philistines. And what happened there was one of the Israelite army men rose up, and they slew two of the giant's sons, which are probably like Goliath's sons. They slew two of the giant's sons. They go on, that war's done with. They're all victorious, they're all great. And so they get to the next war, and a war breaks out again with the Philistines. Well, what happened there? Another man rose up from the Israelite army, and they killed one of Goliath's brothers. Killed Goliath's brother. Okay, well, that war is all gone, and they're all like, yeah, we're big, we're bad, you know. The scripture don't say, and Israel said we're big and bad. No, they don't say that. I'm just saying they're probably all puffed up thinking how great Israel is, you know. They're really like, we're mighty, you know, don't mess with us, you know. So they go again, and war breaks out again in Gath. And this time there was a giant there, and he was of great stature. It says he had 24 fingers and toes. Well, a man rose up from the Israelite army, and what did he do? Took them out. So right now, they're very victorious, Israelites are. They're very victorious. They're very, you mighty, do not mess with us Israelites. We're big and bad. So let's move on to chapter 21. Okay, it says the census of Israel and Judah. Okay, a census. Okay, I'm going to tell you what a census is. This census is actually they're going to do a counting in the land of Israel, and all men 20 years or older that can go to war are the ones that are being counted. So they're going to go out, and they're going to count all the men that can go to work, because they got to see just how big their army really is, all right? So let's go ahead and get started. Now, verse 21, now Satan stood up against Israel and moved David to number Israel. So David said to Joab and to the leaders of the people, go number Israel from Beersheba to Dan, and bring the number of them to me, and that I may know it. And Joab answered, may the Lord make his people 100 times more than they are. But my lord the king, are all not all my lord's servants? Why then does my lord require this thing? Why should he be a cause of guilt in Israel? So right there, what's happening is, you know, David, they're all puffed up. It's not just David, it's the whole army. They're all thinking they're big and bad. And Joab's like, man, we don't need to go out. And this is, Joab is the general of the army. He said, we don't need to go out and count them all. We already know how big we are, how bad we are. We don't need to count them. He goes, we're going to look, you know, bad if we're going out, you know, oh, we're all great. Look, they're counting their men because they're so huge, you know. They're big and mighty. Joab's trying to give him some wise counsel, but he is not taking it. Because if you move on to verse 4, it'll say, nevertheless, the king's words prevailed against Joab. Therefore, Joab departed and went throughout all Israel and came to Jerusalem. Then Joab gave the sum of the number of the people to David. All Israel had 1,100,000 men who drew the sword, and Judah had 470,000 men who drew the sword. Well, that's a lot of men. If you think about it, let's see. That is 1,100,000 men who drew the sword, and Judah had, let's add on, and 470,000 men who drew the sword. That's a lot of men. That's a lot of warriors. And then it says, but he did not count Levi or Benjamin among them, for the king's command was detestable to Joab. He hated it. He hated going out and counting them. He didn't want to do it. And so he didn't count those two tribes, but that was a lot right there already, wasn't it? They were big and mighty. And then in verse 7 it says, and God was displeased with this thing, therefore he struck Israel. Now I don't know how he struck them. I don't know if it was a plague, but all I know, it must have been something pretty big, because David went, oh my gosh, what have I done? What have I done? And then he says in verse 8, so David said to God, I have sinned greatly because I've done this thing, but now I pray that you take away the iniquity of your servant, for I have done very foolishly. Then the Lord spoke to Gad, David's seer, saying, go and tell David, saying, thus says the Lord, I offer you 3 things to choose. Choose one of them for yourself, that I may do it to you. And these are the 3 things. He said, 1, you can have 3 years of famine, you know, because Israel, the territory, is pretty big, mighty, lots of people. They're going to go without food for that many years. Or you can have 3 months to be defeated by your foes with the sword of your enemies overtaking you. That means I'm going to have someone come in and whip your backside. Is that what you want? Or you can have 3 days of the sword of the Lord and the plague in the land and an angel of the Lord destroying throughout all the territory of Israel. So I have a question to ask you, right? We go back up here, and it says in verse 1, it says, now Satan stood up against Israel and moved David to number Israel. If you go in 2 Samuel chapter 24, it's the same account, the same history lesson. Same story, 2 Samuel chapter 24, same lesson. But the first line, the first verse, you know what it says? But God moved David to take the census. A little contradiction there, isn't it? Verse 24 in 2 Samuel, it says, God, I mean, not verse 24, but chapter 24, 2 Samuel, it says, God moved them to take the census. But in here, 1 Chronicles 21, it says the devil moved them. So what are we going to do? This is a little problem here. It's like it's contradicting itself. Well, I have to ask you a question. Have you ever been where you ask the Lord God, is this you or the devil? And God says yes. Has any of you had that? God, is this you or is it the devil? And he says, yes. I know I have been there. Everything going on, everything going around. You're like, God, is this you? Or is it the devil? Yes. Oh, gosh, now what am I going to do? Well, I guess I'll just go with whatever I feel. Guess I'll go take the census. Well, guess why David took the census? Because just like in Job chapter 1, it talks about how Satan came before God. He came before God and he said, God said, "Satan, what are you doing?" He said, "I'm going to and fro, just looking around." I'm sure he's not saying it that way, but I have an imagination. "We're just looking around, Lord, just looking around at people. Just looking." And God said, "Did you see Job? I mean, he's really faithful. He really loves me." The devil says, "Yeah, right. You know why? Because you got a big hedge of protection around him. He ain't ever going to leave your side. You got a lot of protection around him. You give him everything he wants. You're blessing him. You're just, you know, you're really throwing it all on him. No wonder he loves you so much." And God said, "You know what? You can touch everything about him, but you just can't touch his soul. You can't touch his soul. You can't take his life." And so what had happened there is our God is a sovereign God, and he is in control of all things. That sovereign actually means God is in control of all things. Whatever's happening to you, God is in control of all things. So in order for Satan to do anything, he has to go to God first. And God allows the testing, just like this happened here. God saw David's heart. God saw that him and the Israelite army were all puffed up and getting all prideful. And he knew it. But God wanted to use David. He didn't want to let David, after all he's been through, remember the files? Surely God wasn't going to say, "My son, he's, just let him go." No, God loves us way too much. So God will allow trials and testings to come into your life. So you know, you got to get that stuff out. You got to get it out. So what happened here was God saw David's heart, and he was, "Holy Spirit, help me, because I'm going to hold on to your hand." God saw David's heart, and he was all puffed up, prideful, so he allowed him to be tested. And so we're going to go on down here to the scripture. Let's start here in 13, because we already went through the three things that he could choose from. You could have famine, you could have war, or you can have the sword of the Lord. Verse 13 says, "And David said to Gad," okay, let's back up a little bit. "Now consider what answer I should take back to him who sent me." That's Gad, the prophet. He's saying, "What do you want to tell the Lord? What's your answer? Is it 1, 2, or 3? What do you want? What do you want, 1, 2, or 3? You know, you got to be disciplined for what you did down here. What do you want?" And so David said to Gad, "I am great distress. Please let me fall into the hand of the Lord, for his mercies are very great. But do not let me fall into the hand of man. Do you know what happened there? Right there it says, "Please let me fall into the hand of the Lord, for his mercies are very great, but do not let me fall into the hand of man." David knew God's mercies were great, but he knew if he fell into the man's hands, you know, man don't have no mercy on you. So what happened was David started thinking. He started going back over his life. He got out his files, and he said, "Oh, yeah. Man, what was I thinking? I was so prideful. I was so arrogant. Why am I thinking I did this myself? That we're overtaking these giants by ourselves? Man, the Lord is the one who brought us through that. What am I thinking? The Lord's put me here. The reason I'm king is because the Lord put me here. He's in control. I'm not. The Lord put me here." And the Lord remembered that whole thing about Bathsheba. He remembered. Remember how merciful and how gracious he was, how he still loved him. See, nothing can separate you from God. He remembered. So then what happens? Verse 14. "So the Lord sent a plague upon Israel, and 70,000 men of all Israel fell. And God sent an angel to Jerusalem to destroy it. And as it was destroying, the Lord looked down and relented of disaster and said to the angel who was destroying it, 'It is enough. Now restrain your hand.' And the angel of the Lord stood by the threshing floor of Arnon the Jebusite." What happened was there was 70,000 men destroyed. 70,000 men destroyed from the sword of the Lord. And all of a sudden, the Lord looks down and he says, stop, it's enough. Stop, it's enough. And the angel's standing there, and it said, the Bible says that he stands from the earth all the way up to the heaven with his sword stretched out over Jerusalem. And David saw it, and he was, because he was having an open vision. He was seeing what was going on. And David looked up and he said, Lord, please, please stop this. Don't kill any more. Don't kill any more, Lord. It's my fault. I sinned. I did sin. It's my fault. Please don't kill any more. These people are like helpless sheep. Please stop this, Lord. And the Lord told him, he said, you go down to that the threshing floor of Onan, and you buy that threshing floor. And he said, I want you to offer up an offering to me. And so off David went down to the threshing floor. And he went down to the threshing floor, and he bought it, and he said, you know, Onan saw him coming, and he said, here, Lord. He goes, you can have my threshing floor. And David said, no, I can't just take your threshing floor. He said, I need to buy it, because if I don't make some kind of sacrifice on my own, it doesn't mean anything between me and the Lord. It doesn't mean anything. And so David paid for the threshing floor, and he built an altar, and he made a sacrifice. So let's go down on and read what else was going on here. We're going to skip all of that, and we're going to go over to 26. And David built there an altar to the Lord and an offering, burnt offering with peace offerings. Peace offerings. Okay, so what's just happened here is David had something icky in his heart, right? God saw it. God allowed a trial to come, and he took him down to the threshing floor. Do you know what the threshing floor is? It's a place where they take wheat and they separate the chaff. It's a place where they beat the wheat. They got to get all that chaff off, all that stuff you don't need. I'm going to get it off of there. And guess what, people? That's what we are. We're going to go through some trials. And sometimes it's going to feel like you're being beat. Like, gosh, this hurts. What am I going to do? But I got something for you. I got something for you today. The Lord told me, I said, Lord, what do you want to tell your people today? And he said, to tell them that I love them and tell them that they are going through some threshings and to tell them that I have something to give them in the midst of it. He wants to give you peace. He wants to give you peace that surpasses all understanding. He wants you to give you peace. And the way that you're going to get this peace is this, if you keep your mind and eyes on him. And that's why we read that Isaiah 26:3. David in 15, 26 over here, offered a peace offering. And if we go over to Isaiah 26:3, it says, you will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. The Lord wants to give you peace. Some of us are going through some stuff and we don't know what to do. We're at the end of it. We don't know how to make it through this trial or whatever going through. You feel beat up. You feel punched. You feel bruised. I mean, what are you going to do? You got to get through this thing. You feel like you're losing your mind. You don't know what to do. You got to get through this trial. You got to get through this. The reason we're going through this thing is because God wants to get rid of all that ick inside of you, because he wants to make you more like the Lord, more like Jesus, because he wants to use you. He wants to get that out of there. And I'm not saying he ain't going to use you with your stuff, one, because he is. He's going to use you like that. But he wants to make you more like the Lord. The scripture says that we are supposed to be like Christ. And that's what he's trying to do. He's trying to get that out of us and make us more whole. Not only will this, when we get this stuff away, we'll feel better. We'll have more peace because we got all rid of all this junk that's been tearing us down and taking us away from the Lord. So we got to have peace. You will give him perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you. The Lord wants to give you peace today. Peace. The word peace. Do you know what the word peace means? Shalom. And it means to have wholeness, health. It means to be rid of irritation. You're not going to be irritable. You want to get rid of that. If you don't have peace, you're going to be like Galatians 5. Let's go there. List of things here in Galatians 5 that we're going to be if we don't get peace in the midst of this trial. We're going to be beat down. We ain't going to make it because our flesh is going to start taking over. The scripture says to be carnal minded, it will lead you to death. But spiritual minded will lead you to peace. If we don't be spirit minded, we will not have peace. So what happens is when we walk through the trial and then we're not getting that peace, we start acting out in the flesh, which is the carnal, and it will cause us to have death. It'll tear you down and destroy you. Here's a list of just different things we could have. If you're walking in a trial and you don't get peace, you know what you're going to have? You're going to have envy. Man, I'm jealous of her. I want that. You know, you're going to be like that. I hope no one's murdered over going through a trial, but it could be possible. Actually, you know what? You don't have to actually murder somebody anymore. When you say, I hate you, when you cuss at them, that's murder. You don't actually have to commit the act anymore. You just stink it. What if some of you going through a trial, you can't handle it? You don't have no peace. What do you go? You would go drinking. Look, it says drunkenness. Some of us may go find the bottle. Some of us may go find pills because we have no peace. We don't know how to deal with it. Rivalries. You know what that is? That's gluttony. Some of us may go eat it away. Boy, pop out the chocolate ice cream. I'm going through it today. Do you know? There's just long, we just got so many things. We could have hatred, idolatry. Instead of finding peace in the trial, you'll be looking to something else and go, that's going to give me peace. Thank you. Oh, I love you. You bow down to an idol. It ain't going to give you peace. It's going to bring you death. The Lord wants to give you peace today. Some of you are looking for peace, but you don't know how to get it. So I'm going to tell you how to get peace. Peace only comes, you ready? Through Jesus. The Bible says he is your Prince of Peace. The only way that you're going to get any kind of relief in a trial through this tribulation, because the Lord says, the Word says, that all of us are going to go through trials and tribulations. And the word tribulation is a tribulum, which means to rake the thing across and pull all of the shaft out, and all, you know, just to really separate. The only way you're going to get any relief from any kind of trials you're going through is to go to Jesus. And I just feel like today, thank you, Father, I feel like today he wants to give you this peace. And I see his hand, I want you to reach up right now. I want everyone to reach up with their hand. And I want you to pull down peace. He's got his hand out. He just pulled the peace down on you. Thank you, Jesus. We thank you for that peace. Thank you, Lord. But Jesus is the only way you're going to get the peace. And so the only way you're going to get to Jesus is if you go spend time with the Lord. And I won't really like saying that word, spend time with the Lord. Spend. It reminds me of taking money out of your pockets and spending it. You know, oh, you got to spend time with the Lord. I mean, I really don't. I wish there was another word to use. The only thing I can say is waste my life. I'd rather go waste my life like that. There is a song. I just love this song. And it says, I will waste my life. I'll be tested and tried. With no regrets inside of me, just to find I'm at your feet. Let me find I'm at your feet. That's what it's all about. That time we spend with him is precious. You know what? Each one of you, I don't know if you realize that, you know, like, oh, I want to know what I am. What's the purpose? Why am I here? You know, all this going on. Do you know what? Each one of you are a scroll. You're a plan and a purpose of God sitting in your chair. Each one of you is a scroll. And the only way you're going to know what's inside of you is if you go spend time with the Lord, if you go be with the Lord, if you go waste yourself on the Lord. He desires, he longs to be with you. So, and I love what Pastor says. He says, we're going to live from the inside out. Everything we need is inside of us. So no matter how many conferences, no matter how many tapes, it's never really going to truly tell me who I am until I start going to the one who made me, the creator, the one who knitted me together in my mother's womb. I'm never going to know who I am and what I'm created to do until I start going to him. And when I go to him, he brings me peace on the matter. He starts showing you wonderful things about yourself. Wonderful things. Oh, Holy Spirit. All right, I got to tell you something. The Lord calls me this flower, okay? I'll be with the Lord, and he'll call me this flower. And he calls me Lotus, right? So he calls me Lotus. And so he was showing me the other day as I was spending time with him. See, because I don't know who I am. I'm finding out who I am. And so as I'm spending time with the Lord, he called me Lotus, and then he showed me that I am a flower. Lotus is a flower, and it actually grows in the water. I don't know if you guys know this, but a lotus grows in the water, and it's actually in the Nile. And what it does is it grows from like 12 feet from the muck, and it comes out and it blooms on the top of the Nile River. Anyways, he'll call me this lotus, and he said, Paula, he said, you are my lotus. And then he showed me that the water that I see, the muck is all the junk I came out of. I mean, you guys, some of you don't know me, but I've been through some junk. And I'm sure you all have. We all got our junk. But he's showing me, I've been in this mucky, murry junk. And I came out, and I'm coming up through the water, and so I bloom. Well, the water is actually the Holy Spirit. You know, the water is the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit is what's carrying this flower. And then he showed me that the scent that comes off of this is him. See, that's how we are. You are his. And he's got so many wonderful things. I mean, that just made my day. Because he loves me and he only knows me. He does it. I mean, no one else could tell me that. Only he could tell me that. And only he can tell you, Charlie, what he loves about you or how he sees you. You know, only he can tell you that. Each one of us, like I said, are a plan and purpose of God. And the only way that we're ever going to be anything or do anything is if we go to him. And then what happens is, on earth as in heaven, you are the scroll, you get opened up, and I say, oh, yeah, I'm going to go do this today because it's part of the plan. You're a little dot on a piece of time, and you have a plan and a purpose for being here. But you just don't all of a sudden go, oh, here I am. I'm up here preaching today. You know, I've been longing to do this. So glad you revealed it to me, Lord. No. Well, that's one thing is when I remember as the first Christian, you know what? I would get so mad because I felt like I was never growing fast enough. Lord, I know, what am I supposed to be doing? Oh, what am I supposed to be doing? You know what? It takes time to find out who you are. Don't beat yourself up and don't let the devil beat you up over it. Because he wants to beat you up. Now back to this peace. You guys want this peace. You need Jesus to get this peace. He is the only way you're going to have peace. And his hand is reaching out, and it is there, and he wants you to grab it. There's fighting going on, these trials. You reach up, and you'll be walking like this. You're going to get me through this, Lord. You know, someone tried to hit you. We're making it, you know. But anyways, I know this girl, and she was going through some trials. And this girl, she's going through the trials, and at work, she's felt so alone. People make fun of her. She's a Christian. She's very upright, very good person. I mean, she loves the Lord. You know, I know she loves the Lord. She'd be spending time with the Lord, and she'd be crying because the Lord's just ministering to her. She just loves the Lord. Well, this girl's going through some junk, some trials. As you know, at this place where she works at, they're beating her up, more or less. Like, they treat her like she's an outcast. No one's friends with her. The only time they're friends with her is if, you know, they're going through something and they need some good advice. Anyone can relate to that? So I told her, I said, don't ever expect to be the most popular club because that's just how Christians are. I mean, Jesus didn't go, oh, Jesus, can I get your autograph? What do you want me to do, Jesus? You know, they're not like that. I mean, it's just Jesus. The only reason they were following Jesus is because they want to see the miracles, you know. So anyways, this girl's going through some trials, you know, and what was really going on behind the scene was she wasn't spending time with the Lord. She wasn't going to be with the Lord. She let time slipped through her hands and she got distracted by things and she started going doing some other things. And it's okay. You don't have to spend time with the Lord every day. Because, you know, the Lord knows how much oil you got in your lamp and how much you can burn. But she was low, real low. And so I said, hey, I said, this girl loves movies. She can tell you every movie, and she can tell you, she can act out movie parts for you. You know, she's real good. She goes, oh, and they said this. You know. So it's like, she can act it out. Well, anyways, I said, so I said, because I always tease her, I go, it's like you got a file of movies in there. She's like, what movie, you know? And so I said, so what's in your file for Jesus? And she said, I don't know. I go, you don't even know what's in your file for Jesus? She said, no, I don't know. You know, she's all down. I said, I know you got some angel butt prints in there. Because she was spending time with the Lord, and she was so excited because she was in there praying, and the Lord visited her room, and she had saw something sit on her bed in the spirit, and it was like butt prints. So she's so excited. So I would always tease her. I said, you know you got angel butt prints, you know. So, so anyways, I said, I know there's angel butt prints in that file. And she said, yeah. And I said, well, is there anything else in there? And she said, well, I don't know. There's a heart in there. I go, there is. And I said, well, what's that for? And she said, well, it's because I gave my heart to Jesus. I go, well, is there anything else in there? And she goes, oh, there's a broken heart in there. And I said, well, what's that for? She goes, well, I was sad one time, and I went to go see him, and he fixed it for me. I said, is there anything else in there? And she continued to tell me the different things that were in there. But see, what come down to is she had forgot what he had done and where she had been through. So when the trials came, she was getting beat up. The devil's going, you are such a loser, you're low, no one likes you, something's wrong with you, something's wrong with your family, something, you know, just really hammering her. And then she wasn't reaching out to get that peace that he had right there. Jesus could see you walking through that, getting all beat up, and you're going, ow, ugh, ow, ow, you're getting all beat up, and he's going, I'm right here, take my hand. But no, what are we? Like sheep, meh. Meh. You know, what was that? So, I'm asking you today, what's in your file for Jesus, huh? I mean, is this in your file? Lord, remember when my marriage fell apart and I didn't think anyone else could fix it? You did. You fixed it for me, Jesus. Man, no one else could have done that but you. You changed our hearts. And we're focused on you and walking with you, Lord. Remember the time, Lord? Remember when I was in an abusive relationship? Remember? And I had to get out fast. I needed to get out. I mean, it wasn't just me, it was my kids. And I looked at my bank account, and I didn't have enough money. And I thought, I just got to get an apartment. And I went back and checked again, and there was money in there. I don't even know how it got there. But I had just enough to get an apartment to move out on my own, get my kids out of that situation. Lord. Remember when I was hungry? And I said, Lord, I am hungry. And you said, I'll get you something to eat. Because I remembered your word. Your word said you would supply it for my food. I wouldn't have to worry about it or clothes. So you gave me food. And you just didn't give me any old food. You gave me sushi with caviar eggs. You did the best. Lord, remember when I was wanting clothes, and then you sent someone to give me clothes. I said, boy, I like a new dress, and you sent somebody with a dress for me that was just beautiful, and you knew it was just for me. Thank you, Lord. How could I forget when I gave my heart to you? You know, you come and rescued me, Lord. You rescued me out of that junk I was in. Thank you, Lord. And what about the numerous visitations that you came and gave me? You know, when I was outside and I just felt like you were looking down on me, like the psalm said, your eyes are like the stars in the sky. Lord, I really did see you out there looking down at me. Or what about the times that I felt your fingers run through my hair? Or when I've been praising you and I felt the spirit rush up against me? Or when I felt angel wings fluttering in my hands? Lord, thank you. See, when you got all of these, when you get some files, when you go spend time with the Lord, you get this to put in your files. Memories. And you build your relationship. He starts to unfold to you what you are to him and how precious you are. You know, I could actually put a lotus flower in my thing now. You know, I could put a little lotus flower inside of this. But see, that right there helps you. When you have that relationship, when you run to him, what are you going to get? Peace. I mean, that word peace, shalom. Everyone say, shalom. Lord, I want some shalom. It is wholeness, completeness, free from agitation. Someone bothering you? Are they over there picking on you? Are they picking on you? Just have peace. So what the Lord is saying to you today, he wants to give you peace in the midst of your trials. He said he knows there's threshings, there's tribulations going on in your life. And hello, if you're not going through them, you're going to, because the word says count it all joy when you fall into various trials and temptations, trials, tribulations. We're all going to go through it. But the Lord wants to give you peace in the midst of it, because he's just trying to mold you into Jesus. He wants you to look more like Jesus. He wants to peel off of that old chaff so you can start becoming who you're really called to be in that little scroll that you are. Each one of you are a plan and purpose sent here for a time. And the time is not very long. We're this long and you're a little dot there. So you need to start working on it and getting that relationship going so we can finally figure out who we are. Who are we? You are mighty and powerful. You are a child of God. What does he have for you? You are kings and queens. You are priests. Man, that's exciting. You know, I always wear these little things to remind me of who I am. See it? It's a crown. I'm his queen. I'm his child. That's who you are. So we're going to have peace. And I love the scripture says, you will keep him in perfect peace. You know what that word keep means? Guard, shield, and protect. Keep you. When you go to him and you're getting that peace, you know what's going to happen? He's going to guard it. You ain't touching her. You ain't touching him. You ain't touching them. They've been with me. They got my peace. Okay, Holy Spirit, is there anything else? Harmony. Rest. That's peace. We're going to play a song after this, but it is just like inside of me. It's going, he will give you perfect peace. Don't you love that? He's going to give you perfect peace. In the midst of the storm, reach out and grab his hand. Go to him. So we're going to say this scripture together, and then we're going to sing our last song. All righty? Here we go. Reach up and grab your peace. You will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on you, because he trusts you. Now pull it down. Got me some peace. Okay. All right, Daryl, we're going to sing our song here.